I am loving.
I am fabulous.
I am beautiful.
I am saved.
I am a victor.
I am faithful.
I am devout.
I am accepted.
I am a Christian. I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
I am MCC.
I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
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 The following is originally from Cathedral of Hope's worship service last March 1st, 2020.
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was famished. And then the tempter approached and said, "If you are the chosen one of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying, "If you are the chosen one of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, God will command the angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "Again, it is written, do not put your God to the test." Again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and displayed all the dominions of the world and their splendor, promising, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." At this, Jesus said to the devil, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you will worship the Most High God. God alone will you serve." And then the devil left, and angels came and waited on Jesus. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Please be seated.
So
Would you pray with me? God, how we thank you for this gathering this day. We thank you for your presence, for opening our hearts, our minds, for waking us this morning to gather in this space. So as we have gathered and through hearing your word and modern interpretation through music and through prayer, prepare our hearts now that we might hear from you a word that touches us and perhaps transforms us, a word that might encourage us and bless us, that we might hear the God that is still speaking this day. And so it is with that intent, O God, that we gather now. Help us to hear what you say to the church this day. And so now, God, I pray that you would touch my lips of clay, mold them into the words that need to be spoken this day. And may the words that come from my mouth and the meditations on each and every one of our hearts, may they be ever acceptable to you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as has been said several times already, Lent is a season in the Christian church that we begin our own journey. A journey that reminds us of the way of the cross. A journey that Jesus took more than 2,000 years ago. A journey that perhaps defines itself by the ways in which we prepare our hearts and minds for resurrection. For the resurrection of Christ at Easter is not just an event that happened 2,000 years ago, it is an event that continues to happen through the hearts and lives of those who follow Jesus. Resurrection happens for us when we are willing to journey with Jesus all the way to the cross and beyond, to examine ourselves. And traditionally in the Christian church, Lent was a period when those who had been disenfranchised from the church would find their way back to the church. It was an opportunity to renew the covenant that people had with God, and that a reminder of the covenant that God had with people throughout the ancient histories. 40 days and 40 nights is repeated over and over again in the scriptures as a tenet of the ways in which that covenant is renewed with God's people. And we take 40 days and 40 nights with Jesus all the way to the cross. It's also a reminder for each and every one of us that we have places in our lives, perhaps spaces in our lives, that we need to reconcile. And in order to reconcile them, the church has established this wonderful period of time to perhaps do that inner work, to do that inner journey. It comes swiftly on the heels of Transfiguration Sunday, when we reminded ourselves of the transformation of Christ when he was on the mountaintop. A mountaintop experience that perhaps many of us have experienced, only to be thwarted and tempted to deny the experience of our own mountaintop. It comes on the heels of Ash Wednesday, when we come together to be anointed with ash and to be reminded that from dust we came and to dust we shall return. And the scriptures today call to our memory the time when Jesus too was at that mountain of his own baptism, ready for ministry, preparing his life for all that God had intended for it, only to be swiftly taken off to be tempted by the evil one. We call the devil, to be taken off, to be tempted to do something other than what God had intended for Jesus to do. And the understanding, the relationship, that conversation between Jesus and the evil one that ultimately would give Jesus the power to say, "Get behind me, step back, for the work that I've been called to is far greater than anything that we could ever imagine." And the church this day is too called to that work of Christ. We closed our sermon series out last week with reminding ourselves that sometimes you have to go it alone. And just as Jesus had to go it alone on this journey to the cross, so sometimes we have to go it alone to face our demons, to face those experiences of our lives that perhaps we have not yet reconciled, and to call ourselves into that fullness of account of the relationship that we have as followers of Jesus with this God that we believe in. Preparing us for resurrection, preparing us for the hope of the day. And so as we begin this Lenten journey, we too call into our own retrospective lives to examine ourselves, to think about the ways in which there may be some darkness in our lives that needs to be reconciled, just as Jesus reconciled some of the darkest places of his life. So we too are called to that place. And I understand that for many of us, we run from the darkness of our lives. We run from those places because for many of us, those dark places have been hard to face. They've been hard to confront. Many of us who are here in this congregation this morning have had to go through some very dark times in order to be able to come to this place this day. And many of us run. We run from those hard places. We hide from those hard places. Sometimes we even pretend that those hard places do not exist, or that we've had to do the hard work to get to where we are. And we run like crazy out of those dark places because sometimes they are just too difficult. And sometimes it is because the Christian church has sold us a false theology. A false theology that says that the darkness is not good. A false theology that tells us that the darkness is perhaps the place where we are devoid of God's presence. In fact, many of us have grown up in congregations perhaps using a prosperity gospel that talks about if you are experiencing difficult times in your life, then you must have done something that displeased God. We've learnt that behavior. We've learnt that theology. So much so that sometimes when we even show up in church on Sunday mornings, we pretend as if everything is just fantabidozy. We worship that rah-rah Jesus. That rah-rah Jesus that is always with us if your life is good. Rather than acknowledging that this God that we believe in is a God who is with us through the good and the not so good, in the dark as well as the light. As it was with Jesus, as it was at the very beginning of creation when God created the heavens and the earth and separated the light from the darkness. God didn't say that the light was good and the dark was bad. God looked at both the night and the day and said, "This is good." It is that God that we worship and encourages us to live in those dark places as well as in those light places. If you're anything like me, sometimes I learn more about God and about myself in the dark places of life than I do in those light places. For it is in those dark places sometimes that I get to learn something about me and about God and God's faithfulness that is relevant to the new place that I might live in. But if we don't stay a while in those dark places, if we don't confront sometimes the darkness of our lives and confront them in ways that will bring hope of resurrection, then we miss out on the totality of the journey of life. Now, if you're one of those people who have never had a difficult time in your life, praise Jesus. But I would suspect that for every single one of us in this place this morning, unless you are a newborn, we've all been through those difficult times. We've been through those times when we have perhaps even doubted God, perhaps even doubted ourselves, perhaps thought that those places of darkness, those places of difficulty, have been the times when we are most devoid of God. But Scripture reminds us that it's in those darkest places sometimes that God is most present. Perhaps even calling forth within us a response of faith that we didn't even know that we needed. Calling forth within us a response to dwell in that dark place just for a while. Now, I'm not talking about those in our congregation or those in our world who face clinical depression or clinical sadness. I'm talking about those of us who go through those periods of lives when we find some darkness in our lives. But those who live in the space of depression, I'm grateful for modern science and for doctors and for therapists who help us through. But for others who just go through the ups and downs of everyday living, where darkness and light sometimes coexist, We come together this day as we begin this Lenten journey to think about how we might stay in that darkness for a moment. Not to live there, but to dwell there. Jesus had to stay there for 40 days and for 40 nights, and it's the experience of Lent that we shape. And if you have gone home and checked the calendar, you will know that there are more than 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Maundy Thursday. And many people ask me, well, when does the 40 days end? Usually they want to know so that they can go back to chocolate. The way in which the calendar was developed was that Lent is a period of 40 days and 40 nights, but that we get Sundays off. The Christian calendar is so designed so that we can gather together in community on those Sundays for the celebration of getting through the week. And so as we gather this day, we come to celebrate the fact that whilst this is a journey that we sometimes need to take on our own, it is a journey that we also do in community, in celebration, knowing that when we come back together, there is a group of people, a faithful remnant of God's people who are with us on the journey, sharing with us, learning with us, and finding our way to ultimately the place of Easter and resurrection. We gather this day to begin our Lenten journey, perhaps asking ourselves, what is it that we bring to this Lenten journey? What is it that we too have been tempted by the devil, by the evil one, that perhaps we have never confronted? Perhaps we have never examined, perhaps we have run so far from it that it's even difficult to even name it this morning. Or perhaps we come knowing that there is something in our lives that unless we are prepared to dwell in it, unless we are willing to confront it, it is to continue to reappear in our lives like the playing of a record over and over and over. In this Lenten journey, we're invited to walk in the darkness and to find those places in our lives that we might sit with them for a while, knowing that God created both the light and the dark, knowing that God exists in both of those spaces, and not to run too quickly to the light without confronting that darkest of our places. In our congregation, for some of us, that has been addiction. For some of us, it has been loneliness. For some of us, it has been the demons in our heads that tell us that God doesn't love us or that we are not worthy of God's love. For others, it has been an understanding of the fullness and the totality of what it means to be a person of faith. And for others, it is just that opportunity to confront that one thing that has bugged us all our lives. And we get to take it with us in this journey of Lent. We get to confront it. Because when we confront those things, they no longer have power over us. And when we confront them, we are ready for healing, and ultimately we are ready for resurrection. That is what Jesus did. When he confronted the evil one in his hours of temptation, he confronted the evil one so that the evil one no longer had power over him. When he was asked, just put yourself up on the pinnacle of the temple and throw yourself down, the evil one said that the angels would come and take care of him. I don't know about you, but it always surprises me that the evil one knows scripture better than some of us Christians. We need sometimes to use the ammunition, the understanding of our sacred text in order to help us through the darkest times of our lives. We come this day to confront those spaces and to dwell with them. Many of you know I have a 5-year-old daughter called Sophia. And Sophia is just a smart little kid. Of course, she's the smartest of every kid in the entire world because she's my kid. And I know you say that about your kid, so my kid's better than your kid, and we'll just go with that. And I don't know where we learn these things from, but I remember as a child when I would go to bed, I would often ask my mom if she would leave the light on Did anyone else have that experience? No, just me. Okay, it's not a problem. I'll go and see my therapist about that tomorrow morning. But I remember that I would ask my mom to leave the light on. And just a few nights ago when I was putting Sophia to bed, she said, "Dada, would you leave the light on?" And I wondered where that came from. But somehow we have learned, whether it's through theology or through sociology or through just mixing with one another, that somehow we think that in the darkness there is evil. That there must be a boogie person under the bed, or a monster that's going to come out and surprise us in the midst of the night. The truth is that that's how we see life more often than not. That it's in the darkest of our places that we must run and hide from. But our scriptures tell us that God is the creator of both of those spaces. And as for those of us who are called to believe, we must believe that God dwells with us even in the most difficult passages of our lives. That God sits with us in those places so that we can confront them. I wanted to call this sermon series, "Get Behind Me, Satan," because sometimes we just have to say that. We just have to ask for those voices in our heads, for the theologies that we have learned, and for the places that we run from. We just sometimes need to say, "Get behind me, move aside." For ultimately Jesus would say that, and the angels would come and minister to him. I like to believe that the angels are here to minister to us today. They're sat next to you. They're sat in the authenticity of their own spaces. So that in the times when we are feeling in the darkest of places, we don't run from church, we run to church. We run to the people that will love us and support us and encourage us. We run to the people that will uphold us in the darkest times of our lives. Knowing that there will be other times in our lives when we will feel such the joy of life that we can be of support to the person who is not. It is the rhythm of life. But God is the creator of them both, the darkness and the light. But the blessed assurance of a God who is with us tells us that God will be with us through both of those journeys. And that sometimes we need to confront those places in order that we might be overcomers, in order that they do not keep coming back to confront us. In order that we might know something about God that we would not have known if we had not sat in that place for a while. I encourage us, as we move in this Lenten journey, not to be too quick to run from the darkest places of our lives, but perhaps to sit with them. And as we prepare for Lent, to think about that one thing that you want to be an overcomer of. So that you can sit with that in the next 40 days and 40 nights, taking Sundays off to come back to church and to love on one another with fist bumps and elbow bumps, to keep coming back to the place where we are lifted up, but not to be afraid of the dark, not to be afraid of the things that we need to overcome. For if we only live in the light, then perhaps we're missing out on half of an experience of life. And perhaps we're missing out on the totality of who God is. I encourage us in this season of Lent to make this season a time of preparation that we might truly experience resurrection. A resurrection from our fears. A resurrection from our own demons. A resurrection that will serve us faithfully as we go into the rest of our lives. For it can happen for Jesus. It can surely happen for us. May God bless us as we live this Lenten journey. God bless you, Cathedral of Hope, United Church of Christ. Amen.